The conversation resumed as he performed the first of a series of deliberate transgressions. He climbed onto the coffee table, which is always off limits, and then sought out other expressions of defiance. After about the fifth command, he would cease and go to the next transgression. The conversation continued with only an occasional lapse while he was being rebuked. This is exactly the kind of issue that demands concentrated training and discipline. To ignore it as they did is to waste your child. What did the child learn? He learned that his mother is bigger than he is and can force her will upon him. This will justify his enforcing his will upon his younger brother. He learned that he does not have to exercise self-control. Anything that he is big enough to achieve is fair game. The anger that was allowed to seethe in his heart led to rebellion. Though the parents were aware of it, his subsequent actions were the product of his defiled heart. The proper response. The proper response would have gone something like this. Johnny, here is a rag. Please clean up your mess. No, I don't want them. He then continues to dabble in the water, sort of rocking back and forth with one shoulder and with his chin down, not too earnestly involved in the water, yet waiting to see if his mother is going to let him be. Rebellion is in his heart, but he faces a superior power, so he hesitates. Again, she says, Johnny, clean up the water now. With my children, one command is all they would get. If he again hesitates, she goes for the switch. If he hurriedly attempts to avert a switching by cleaning the water, it makes no difference. She returns with the switch and, standing in front of him, says, Johnny, I told you to wipe up the water and you hesitated. Therefore, I'm going to have to spank you so you will not hesitate the next time. Mama wants her boy to grow up to be wise like Daddy. I'm going to have to help you to remember to obey. Lean over the couch. Put your hands down. Now don't move, or I'll have to give you more licks. She then administers about 10 slow, patient licks on his bare legs. He cries in pain. If he continues to show defiance by jerking around and defending himself, or by expressing anger, then she will wait a moment and again lecture him and again spank him. When it is obvious that he is totally broken, she will hand him the rag and very calmly say, Johnny, clean up your mess. He should very contritely wipe up the water. To test and reinforce this moment of surrender, give him another command. Johnny, go over and put all your toys back in the box. Or Johnny, pick up all the dirty clothes and put them in the basket. After 3 or 4 faithfully performed acts of obedience, brag on how smart a helper he is. For the rest of the day, he will be happy and compliant. The transformation is unbelievable. You have just witnessed the potential making of a peaceful home and of an emotionally stable and obedient child. If you are faithful to guard against and reward every infraction, whether in attitude or action, in just a few days you will have a perfectly obedient and cheerful child. The wonderful thing is that one act of obedience gained in a contest like this translates into a heart of obedience that will express itself positively in all future potential contests of will. I don't have the time. Now I know exactly what some of you are thinking, but I am pushed to the limit now. I don't have the time to watch and guard against every transgression. If you have duties outside the home that prevent you from properly rearing your children, give your duties back to the devil. I mean exactly that, even if they are church activities. If you have children, your first calling is that of a parent. If, on the other hand, you are overextended because of a chaotic household, then you cannot afford to do other than be faithful in training and discipline, for you desperately need the rest that well-trained children will provide. Just yesterday, a young mother of small children came to the house and told my wife the story. This morning, as I was sitting at the sewing machine, my 4-year-old son came to me and said, Mother, I love you so much. I stopped sewing and looked at the earnest expression on his face, and said, "I'm glad you love me, for I love you too. You are such a fine boy." As I attempted to turn back to sewing, he said, "Do you know why I love you so much?" "No. Why do you love me so much?" "Because you make me bring in firewood and do what you say." This mother always looks fresh and rested. I know this sounds pretentious, but it is the absolute truth. Even a 4-year-old can compare himself with other children and appreciate his parents' guidance. A switch at nap time saves mine. When your baby is tired and sleepy enough to become irritable, don't reinforce his irritability by not addressing the cause. Put the little one to sleep. But what about the grouchy child who would rather complain than sleep? Get tough. Be firm with him. Never put him down, and then for some reason reverse your position, allowing him to get up. For your reputation with the child, you must follow through. He may not be able to sleep, but he can be trained to lie there quietly. He will very quickly come to know that any time he is laid down, there is no alternative but to stay put. To get up is to be on the firing line and get switched back down. It will become as easy as putting a rag doll to bed. Those who are mostly consistent must use the switch more often. Those who are always consistent will come to never need it. When you begin to train your child to lie down quietly, he may whimper and protest, which is just a natural expression of disappointment. If you ignore whimpering, it will pass. But if you reward the whimpering by letting him get up, he will repeat it the next time he wants to get up. Having discovered the power of whimpering, he will continue to employ it to get his way. By allowing the child to dictate policy, you are training him to be a brat. Since this whining and crying is eventually going to annoy mother, it is better, regardless of the mother's feelings, to break this tendency before it takes root and becomes a personality habit. It is sickening to see teenagers whine. Just think of it, children who never beg, whine, or cry for anything. We have raised 5 whineless children. Think of the convenience of being able to lay your children down and say, "Nap time," and then lie down yourself, knowing that they will all be lying quietly in bed when you awake.